I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. Not a lot to add in review of yesterday's performance. Like we talked about after the game, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect in a lot of fronts, but the will that was displayed was, and the grit that was displayed was, I just thought collectively we all stayed in the fight, and they're going to be games like that when you're playing good people. And obviously the Rams, defending NFC representatives in the last Super Bowl, is a really good team. And so hopefully, man, we're able to learn from that experience and able to reproduce the results of that as we move forward, because we got some stiff challenges that lie ahead. You know, from an injury standpoint, we had a couple of new things that occurred in the game. Ryan Switzer went down with a back, Ola with the hip, Chicolo with some rib-like cartilage. On a short week, I don't know what it means for those guys. They're yet to be evaluated this morning, so, you know, maybe we'll have some more information for you. But it won't be a lot of opportunities during the course of the week for those guys to work their way into the rotation or show their availability, just simply by the way that we have to practice or the structure in which we work on a week like this. So don't have a lot of information about their status or availability. We'll just simply play it by ear and do the best we can in terms of making judgments, not only of in terms of their health and capabilities, but just the mix of people in regards to some of those things. If we were to work today, James Conner would have been a full participant. But again, that's like hypothetical work day, and so there's some angst there. We feel comfortable about his ability to be available to us, as we do Ramon Foster's, but we have to get through the week in that regard. Guys that we're less optimistic about are Rosie Nix and Benny Snell. Those guys are working, but they're not positioned in the ways that James Conner and Ramon Foster are maybe to participate this week. Looking at the game, area that we got to work on and improve is just our possession of the football. I know sometimes losing the football is just born out of working extremely hard to make plays, and particularly in regards to some of the young people, and it could be described as that, but the reasoning is irrelevant. You know, when you're working in the fashion that we're working in terms of missing a number of significant people, particularly in the offensive unit, we got to do good fundamental things like take care of the ball. And so that has been a bugaboo for us. We'll continue to work in that area. It's not like we haven't placed an emphasis on working that area. Just hadn't unfolded the way we would like in stadiums. Thankfully, we've been taking the ball away on defense to offset it. Thankfully, we've also grown in terms of our ability to stand up in the face of that adversity that we created. Early in the year, we weren't getting off the field on defense when we were put on short fields. More recently, we've been more successful at either getting off the field or at least holding people to field goals. And I think that that's a critical element of supplementing and supporting one another, you know, in play. Getting some splash plays and stuff of late from our special teams unit, and that's critical. We got a ball back after a safety the other week. We had an interception on a fake punt in this game. And so when a special teams has an opportunity to gain possession of the ball or, you know, provide a short field for a unit, that's an asset to us as well. If we could gain some more consistency in that area, that'll help us in our cause. As we prepare for Thursday, we're excited about AFC North divisional play. We're excited about being a part of this rivalry. We understand the environment that we're going into. We understand how important this game is to them and us. It's just AFC North football, and got a lot of respect for those guys. They got talent in all areas. You know, with the acquisition and recent use of Hunt, man, their backfield tandem with he and Nick Chubb is going to be a big challenge. And I think if you're talking about their offense, man, we better start there. Chubb's almost got 1,000 yards on the season. If you don't slow him down, you know, there's no need to talk about the wide receiver tandem and things you need to do to minimize their impact on the game. All you got to do is look at the Baltimore tape to have an understanding of that. We better minimize the running game and what that guy brings and what Hunt potentially brings, and not only those guys individually, but increasingly so of late, the use of both of them. And looking at the Buffalo tape with both of those guys employed in the game at the same time is particularly challenging, and I would imagine as Hunt is more available to him, that package is going to continue to grow. We're going to have to defend some things in that package this week that we didn't even see on Buffalo tape, but such is life, so we got some work ahead of us there. Landry and Beckham, they're you know, from a talent standpoint, there's no tandem that approaches those guys. They're impactful. Both guys are the type of guys that merit the type of attention that we gave Cooper Kupp last week, but, you know, shoot, you can't provide that for both guys and work to minimize Nick Chubb in the run game and so forth. So we gotta pick our poison, if you will. We got some tough decisions to make, not only just globally, but in-game and situationally in terms of the things that we do to work to minimize their many weapons. And couple that with the fact that they got Baker Mayfield behind the center, we got some challenges in terms of minimizing them, particularly in their environment. Where they get an opportunity to communicate and use cadence as a weapon and do all the things that offenses do in a home environment. So we got some work there. On the other side of the ball, they got talent at every level. Obviously, Myles Garrett is where you start. Top draft pick and 10 sack man. They move him around up front. We got to do a great job of not only protecting, but we also better do a really good job of making quick decisions and getting the ball out on rhythm. That's complicated because they got some really talented guys on the back end. Guys like Ward and Greedy Williams, man, are first-round type talents, obviously first-round players and graded as such. And, you know, they're capable of staying really close. They're good in man-to-man coverage. They're using a lot of guys at safety, some veteran guys, Morgan Burnett, Randall, are very versatile. They're capable of playing in deep defense. Both guys are capable of spinning down into the box and be it zone or man. They just got a lot of flexibility in that secondary. And so that makes that process of making quick reads and distributing the ball quickly before the sand runs through the hourglass with guys like Myles Garrett hunting you up front a troublesome thing. But such is life, man. We got a lot of work ahead of us. We got a short time in which to do it. We're excited about it. We understand what it means, man. We got to make a quick turnaround and take the show on the road. We've been in the comforts of Heinz Field for several weeks. So that in itself presents a different set of challenges, one we better be ready for. Questions?
Mike, that 8-minute drive in the fourth quarter where you ended up getting the field goal yesterday, what do you feel went right in that drive to kind of put it all together and do that?
I just think significant plays at significant moments, you know, regardless of maybe how the game was unfolding, you know, largely, you know, we average, I don't know, 2 yards or under 2 yards per carry, but we had some significant, you know, efficient runs in that period. We dropped some balls in the game and stuff, particularly on possession downs and things like that earlier in the game. But some of those same people made plays in those moments. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, it was far from perfect in terms of our play, but it was appropriate, and particularly in the weighty moments. And that speaks to will and grit. And for that, we're appreciative.
Mike, are the changes on the offensive line a one-week thing specifically for the Rams? When will you go back to them?
It depends on who we have available to us coupled with who we're facing. What we did last week was appropriate because of who we had available to us and what we were facing, particularly with Aaron Donald and his pass rushing abilities on the interior. We thought it was just best to get three tackle-like guys on the field in an effort to get our very best pass rushers. We got a different set of challenges this week in terms of Myles Garrett and company, but we also potentially have got a different mix in terms of who's available to us. We're optimistic about Ramon being available to us. So, you know, we're going to use the appropriate mix based on those circumstances, not only at the offensive line, but any of our positions, because we're just trying to win a game. And so that's where we are. We've been in that phase, particularly in a lot of positions on offense, for the better part of the year, such as life, man. We'll put together a plan that best fits the talents and traits of the people that we have available to us, not only in the offensive line, but in the backfield and at the wide receiver position.
Why did you go with the core four instead of Banner? You just like Banner in that extra blocking role?
Again, specifically what I talked about in terms of the matchups relative to the people we face, Banner had been occupying a role and doing a really solid job at that, so why disrupt that? Chooks is fully capable, and I think that's the thing that you point to, man. The thing that we always repeat to our guys is that, man, we're going to need every man in that room, and every man is capable. And so we're going to make decisions week in and week out that highlight that and challenge that in certain ways. And Chooks' usage and expansion of roles in terms of being an inactive type and going to a guy that starts at right tackle is just an example of that. But that's nothing new. He did that a year ago, I think, at Denver against Von Miller and company. So he's a guy that doesn't fear those matchups, a guy that's got some talent, a guy that's evolving as a player, and, you know, and opportunities like that help that evolution.
Is it a sign that you're happy with the depth overall at the offensive line position that you've been able now to get all three backups involved, and seemingly because you want to, not because you have to?
You know, we're just trying to make the very best decisions that fit the variables of the week, and that's our strengths versus the strengths of the people that we play. I wouldn't read into it any more than that.
Mike, what went into the decision process running it at the end after you stopped them on fourth down and making them use their timeout?
It's, you know, we were just trying to get a first down and close the game out. Obviously, we weren't successful at it. You know, we got a penalty, and, you know, they did a great job of winning the line of scrimmage. We just didn't want to take the calculated risk with putting the ball in the air. At that time, particularly given what had transpired to that point in the game, we felt comfortable with our punting and our defense. You got to acknowledge we've had really consistent punting, and particularly in those got-to-have-it moments in recent weeks, and the defense was having a good night, so it really wasn't a lot of discussion there.
What goes into putting Deontay Johnson out there as opposed to Ryan Spitzer and getting punted?
A bunch of variables that are different week to week, much like the offensive line discussion. I'm not going to get into the minutia, but it is a thoughtful process, surely.
You've repaired a number of times for short weeks over your career. I mean, how have you learned stuff of how to get the players ready from such a short week because of the physicality?
You know, the shortness of the week is just an element of it. The health of the unit is probably a bigger variable because you don't get a lot of information in terms of people working themselves to readiness via practice settings. You don't get an opportunity to let things play out in the way things that usually play out on Fridays and Saturdays in terms of some of the availability things. Time provides clarity, and you just don't have it. You got to make quick decisions, particularly from a planning standpoint. We're making decisions today that we normally make on a Tuesday afternoon and evening and night. And so, you know, that 24-hour period in terms of knowledge of who's available or potentially who's available and to what degree they're available is a big component of planning. But it's fair because both teams face the same circumstances. And so I'm not seeking comfort in that regard. I'm just outlining some of the critical components of dealing with a short week. We don't, you know, we don't get an opportunity to practice very much. You can talk about it, but talking about it is just a part of it. This guy's got to make plays when given an opportunity. They're receivers. And so if you spend a lot of time talking to receivers about receiving, you got problems.
Do you get much time to work on when they lined up for that fake punt? Do you get, you know, to defend something like that, or is that an instinct?
No, we work and have rules for the obscure, particularly in that phase. You never know what you're going to get. You better have built-in principles and rules to minimize the unforeseen, but it's not like that's unforeseen. I mean, that guy's probably thrown 14, 15 passes in the course of his career. We had a bunch of video evidence of that personality and what they're capable of in those moments, so I wouldn't even characterize that as unforeseen. I don't know. I don't get into how close. It's either he's available or he's not. The rest of that is just not worth my time.
Mike, is there challenges with Mason with the short week knowing that he's never went?
I'm sure there's challenges every time he faces something that he's never done before, but not anything that's going to, you know, change how we approach what it is that we're doing or create additional angst. It's just when you're working with a guy that lacks experience, anytime you get in a new setting or a new environment or new set of circumstances, it's going to be a first time for him.
Mike, are the struggles of the running game a byproduct, just the inconsistency of the players you've had in there from Elston?
I'd like to think that, but not only in terms of the ball carrier themselves, but just some of the supplementary guys. You know, we've had some Rosie Nix's availability has been spotty at best. We've had some tight end issues and things of that nature. Continuity is the type of environment that really produces consistency, and we hadn't had a lot of that. Not that it's an excuse, we're capable of what better than what we've displayed to this point, but I'd be naive if I didn't say the availability of some of these guys that we've been talking about hadn't been a component of our performance or lack thereof. To be honest with you, I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about it. We're just trying to get in and out of stadiums. And he's a big component of that, not only because of his talents, but the position he plays. Maybe that's one of the things I'll spend some time doing when I get on the other side of this Thursday night game and have 10 days. But at this point, nah, I'm just looking at the issues of today.
Was Switzer's back injury the same injury that he had last week, or was
this
a new thing?
I'm not familiar with what you're referring to in regards to last week's. I don't know that it was a back last week, to be honest with you. So, no.
You always talk about the jump your own guys make in their second year from their first. Have you seen that with Mayfield from what you've watched on Browns tape so far?
I hadn't been thinking about it in that way. When you press for time, your frame of references and the things that you ponder are a little bit different. I've just been looking at what he's been doing this year and particularly of late, and working to kind of minimize those things. Maybe that's something that you get an opportunity to do in terms of reference to last year and evolution and how that might impact the game the latter part of the week.
Mike Hilton saw a lot of Cup yesterday. How have you seen his game go? I mean, Cup didn't have any catches in yesterday's game. How have you seen Mike's progression go this year? And how is his play?
You know, Mike's always game. He plays hard. He's got a well-rounded game, not only in coverage, but in run defense and in pressure. You know, we like to bring him. But, you know, he didn't cover Cup alone, man. A guy like Cup requires multiple people, and particularly in those situational moments, and that probably is a more accurate description on how he was minimized, not taking anything away from Mike, but just paying respect to Cup and what he's capable of.
Mike, after starting 1-4, you talked about trying to stack wins, and you just mentioned about getting in and out of stadiums. How much is that kind of focus on just this week really help this team? It seems like it's more out of necessity.
That's always our mentality. Obviously, there's a certain edge or necessity to it when you're in the fragile state that we're in and have been in. But I don't think that is any broad, sweeping, or new approach to the business, man. This is the National Football League. Reputation and resumes mean very little. You got to show and prove week in and week out, so you better be singularly focused on those opportunities and that prep.
Mike, based on the number of snaps that Cam has had, and even Javon, especially this game, is it safe to assume that the rotation system has been kind of put on hold a little bit more than usual?
Hey, again, I don't even know how many snaps they had. You probably are better informed than that than I am. We'll take a look at some of those things when we get an opportunity to, or when the opportunity arises to. Right now, with the challenges that we face, particularly in just in terms of time, it's just not a lot of time to ponder those things. Those guys understand that. We all got to tote a load, and different people got to tote a different type of load at different points in the journey based on their roles or circumstances. We don't spend a lot of time dwelling on that. We just do what we got to do, and those guys are doing it. When we get an opportunity to take a look at it and pause, maybe in this 10-day period, we'll do so. But it won't be a lot of pause or looking at it as we prepare for Thursday night.
Did you get a chance, Mike, to look at the film to see how many big plays he either made or created, Cam, that is?
I looked at the film, but not with that set of eyes specifically regarding him. Obviously, he's a big component of what we do on defense and always is, and is just a quality player week in and week out. So I'm never surprised when he's in the middle of things.
Mike, was that Mark Barron's best game as a Steeler, and had anything to do with his familiarity with the opponent or a little extra edge?
Again, I wouldn't be accurate for me to assess whether or not that was his best game. I know it was a good game, and he'd be better appropriate to speak on his familiarity in terms of helping him be productive in that game.
How much, or rather, in what ways do you address with Juju that, you know, the Pickens might be slimmer being the number one guy?
I don't. He's a smart guy. That's obvious.
Anyone else? All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.